brain and my body would get itself together, preferably on the 18 side rather than on the years that I am side. That would be really, really good. By the way, if anybody's talking to Dave James, you tell him, please, that I miss his presence, because I really, really enjoy having him read the scripture for me. And it's always a pleasure. I figure you hear me enough when I'm preaching the word. It's nice to have somebody else at least read the scripture. And I do appreciate how he does that for me. And I just wanted to say that I do appreciate it. Somebody can pass that on to him. I'd appreciate that too. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn, if you will, to the first Psalm. Psalm chapter 1. We've been going for the last 2 weeks, and now this is the third in the book of Psalms. I mentioned last week that we may continue in the book of Psalms next Sunday, but I have something in the back of my mind that really wants to get us into the book of Habakkuk or Habakkuk. My problem is there are three chapters long, and we would only have one Sunday to do it. So I'm still working on it. It's in the back of my mind. It's in the front of my mind as well. But what a book. And I'd love to get into that with you. You pray that the Lord will give me some guidance on that matter, if you would, and I'd really appreciate it. A very familiar psalm to some of us, Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man, I'm reading from the King James Version. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Aren't you glad that the Lord knows the way of the righteous of his children? He knows our way. Let's bow in a moment of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, as we discuss this very beautiful passage of Scripture, we pray that you would guide us and direct us. May our hearts and minds be open to receive the Word of God. May our lives reflect that Word in all that we do and all that we say. Bless us now in these moments as we share together, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Wanted to read to you a little poem before we start. And I thought this was appropriate for me because I don't know if any of you have this problem, but every once in a while, you understand, I lose my temper. Anybody ever had that? You don't need to put your hand up, I guess. Some of you may know what I mean. And you know what I find? I find that things that I would normally not say, that sometimes I do say because I've lost my temper. And I saw this little poem, and it was really may kindle strife. A cruel word may wreck a life. A bitter word may hate instill. A brutal word may smite and kill. A gracious word may smooth the way. A joyous word may light the day. A timely word may lessen stress. A loving word may heal and bless. I have it in two paragraphs, and I'm saying to myself as I read it, the Lord wants my life and my words to be in that second paragraph, not in the first. Oh, that we as God's children might know what it is to speak that way, that our lives might be a blessing to those around us. Amen. Now, for a few moments, let's look at Psalm chapter 1, if we may. And we were talking last week about the man of God. Do you remember chapter 40 of Psalms that we discussed? Really the man David, but we were referring to the man of God and what he goes through and what he ought to be. And we're continuing that discussion as we look at the first chapter of the book of Psalms. And as I looked at it, I saw first a negative and then a positive. Now, most of us like to look at the positive and forget about the negative. But God's word doesn't always do it. It doesn't always work that way. And here it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Watchman Nee, some of you may have heard his name, some of you may have read some of his books and his writings. Watchman Nee wrote a book that said, sit, stand, walk. And I believe it's probably from the New Testament passages of Scripture where the beggar was sitting at the gate and the Lord came along. And he told him to rise or to stand up, pick up his bed, and walk. So in the life of a Christian, we start in a sitting position, oftentimes, maybe in a laying position, I'm not sure. And God wants us to stand as Christians, as His children. And that standing is making yourself known to other people. I know the Lord as my Savior. But He wants us to go beyond that, and He wants us to walk in His way. I think of the passage of Scripture back in Luke, however, chapter 24, with those disciples, not of the 12, or rather by that time of the 11, but two other disciples of the Lord that were walking on the Emmaus Road. And in this passage of Scripture, He gives us those three words in a different setting, in a different location, in a different position, where it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's all in the negative, people. It's all in the negative. And I look at this passage of Scripture and I see, first of all, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Remember on the Emmaus Road, these two disciples were wondering what in the world was going on. The one that they had loved and the one that they had worshipped and the one that they had followed had been crucified, and now word was that He rose again from the dead, and they just couldn't fathom it. They couldn't understand it, and they were discussing it when the Lord Jesus came and walked with them. And as He walked with them, the Bible says in Luke 24, their eyes were holden, or in other words, God held their sight so that they did not realize who it was that was walking with them. And He walked walked with them and he listened to them and then he talked to them and he explained to them how the Lord needed to die on the cross, that it was foretold in Scripture, and that he would indeed rise again. And so as they walked and getting near the town of Emmaus, I can picture in my mind, it's almost like a fork in the road. Here they're going now this way because that's where they live, but the road continued that way. I can just see them stopping at least for a moment, maybe for a while, because the discussion wasn't over. And they needed to turn off the road. And so they stood. And as they stood, they decided, let's invite this man. And they invited him to their place because the time was late. And one thing that the Jewish people were really good at was hospitality. The time was late and they invited him to come, to supper, to eat with them, and probably to stay the night as well because they mentioned it, it's late in the day. And as I saw that, I thought this, that to me, walking means acquaintance. Standing means friendship. Sitting means partnership. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That doesn't mean that we don't have unsaved friends that, or even family members that we deal with, that we work with perhaps, that we fellowship with, but notice what it says. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Where does a Christian, where does a child of God get his counsel? Where does he really get his understanding of what he should do, of how he should behave, of the decisions in life that are very important oftentimes? Where does he get that counsel? My Bible says, blessed is the man that does not get it from those individuals who are ungodly. Our counsel, first of all, should come from the Word of God. And then secondly, our counsel should come from those of like precious faith in important matters of life. And then it goes on to say, blessed are those who blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. And that again, as I mentioned before, speaks to me of friendship. It goes from acquaintance to friendship. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. My friends, your friends, our best friends, our closest friends, the ones that should mean most to us in our living and in our practice should be of those who love the Lord as we do. I wonder if we've cultivated friendships among those who trust the Lord and love the Lord as we do. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Do you get the progression here? I walk with them, and then I stand with them. And finally, I sit with them. Now that's in the negative. I understand that. That is indeed what we ought not to do. In the counsel of the ungodly, the man of God is opposed to godless thinking. Standing with those in the way of sinners, he's opposed to lawless living, I've put down in my notes. And then sitting in the seat of the scornful, he's opposed to careless speaking, the seat of the scornful. There are those who scorn the Word of God. They don't love it the way we do. There are those that would ridicule the Word of God and ridicule God's children because they're trusting in the Word of God. God says, put that aside. These are not your true friends. These are not the ones that you should find yourselves getting closer and closer acquainted with. Blessed is the man that does not do these things. But the second verse goes from the negative into the positive, and here's what it says. But his delight, that man that is blessed by God, that blessed man of verse 1, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law, or in that word of God, does he meditate day and night. As I looked at that, I figured what he is negatively is in chapter 1. What he is it positively is in chapter 2. And first of all, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, you understand that in that day, it was just the law of the Lord that they have. We have God's word from cover to cover. God's completed word. Nothing left out. Nothing to be added to it. And those who say they have some further revelation that adds to the written word of God are contrary to God's word. And so as I looked at this passage, I said, well, the man of God then, he has an appreciation of the word of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look at these passages of the scripture or any passage that I'm studying, I try to keep my heart open and say, how does that apply to me? And as I read verse 2, I say to myself, do I really delight in the word of God? Is it alive to me? Is it a blessing to me? Is it a challenge to me? Is it something that I want to go to and not a book that I pick up on Sunday morning to take with me? And in many churches, they don't even bother to bring it on Sunday mornings anymore. His delight is in the Word of God, or in the law. He has an appreciation of the word of God, but it goes a little bit further in that second verse. And in that law doth he meditate day and night. Now I gotta confess something. I don't stay up all night long studying the word of God very often. But it says that we meditate on it day and night. But not in my sleep, but as I'm laying down, how often verses of scripture come to me, some of the truths of the word of God come to me. If I'm studying for a passage of scripture that I might share it with others, how in the early hours of the morning, perhaps, these thoughts just come to me, and what a blessing they are. In that law doth he meditate day and night. Not only do I have an appreciation of God's word, but I think that God's children ought to have also an appropriation, accepting it, receiving it unto ourselves, that God may bless us and God may change us through the washing of his word. The appreciation of his word in verse 2, but the appropriation of it. I'm meditating on it. I'm studying it. I'm appropriating it. I'm bringing it into my life that God may change my life to be the kind of Christian, the kind of man that God wants me to be. What a blessing it is that we have the word that can do that very thing. And so we see in what it is negatively. We see in verse 2 what it is positively, but we see what it is also consequently in verses 3 and 4. Verse 3 in particular. And he that is that man of verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It was a couple of years ago. I don't know, it was up north of us. But I know that a couple of years ago, they had a huge huge wind. They were wondering if it wasn't a hurricane, perhaps even the beginnings of a tornado up in the Uxbridge area. And I happened to be up in where my son lives, up on Wagner's Lake. Most of you people may not know what it is, where that is, but maybe one or two of you would. We heard about it, we heard the winds, and after it all died down, they heard on the radio that some of the trees in Uxbridge had literally been ripped out of the ground. And they were laying in the field, one or two of them that I saw. The wind had done that. And I looked when I saw it, and I saw the roots of those trees. And incidentally, I've seen it also when I've been down in Florida on a couple of occasions. Wherever it's arid, the roots of the trees will lay close to the surface. For the purpose of the roots is to get the water needed to sustain the trunk and all the leaves. The leaves bring in the necessary oxygen, but the water comes to the roots. When you water your plants, you're not watering the leaves. In fact, if you've got violets, I hear you better not water the leaves. Some of you know that, I don't exactly, but that's what I've heard. Don't let the water get on the leaves. You're watering the roots, aren't you? You're watering the roots. And here in verse 3, we discover that this man that's following God, that's appreciating his word, that's appropriating his word, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. When you're in arid territory or in arid ground, those roots don't go very far down. They stay toward the surface. So for whatever little rain might come, they may be able to soak it in. But that tree that is by the rivers of water, those roots run deep. God wants our roots to run deep. He doesn't want us easily swayed by the winds of all of the different things that come our way. He wants our roots to be deep in Him, that our lives will be sturdy, that our lives will be strong.
He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He enjoys a life of spiritual vitality, I wrote in my notes. A tree planted. But it goes on to say where he's planted by rivers of water. He enjoys a life of spiritual stability, a life of spiritual vitality. And he shall have his fruit in his season. That man enjoys a life of spiritual fertility as well. His fruit in his season. And I thought of the fruit of our character. I thought of the fruit of our service. How our fruit, your fruit, my fruit, should bring praise and glory to the Lord. This is the man that is deeply rooted in the Word of God. This is the man that is deeply rooted in the very life of God. That's what he is. Consequently, spiritual success means to be negatively and positively adjusted to the will of God and to the Word of God. May I say that again? Spiritual success means to be negatively and positively adjusted to the will and to the Word of God. In verse 4, it goes on to talk about the ungodly again. And I don't know what it says in your particular translation, but in mine it says, but the ungodly are not so. It's actually a little stronger than what the King James Version says when it refers to the ungodly after describing the godly. It really means this: not so the ungodly, not so. But they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away.
Whenever I think of chaff, I think of those great big screens that they would use in many years ago on a breezy day, not a windy day. And if they only knew how, you know, you ever see a person take an omelet? And they're so good that they can take that pan off the stove and they just go like this. And that omelet just laying flat just goes right up in the air and flat right down in the middle of the pan again. You know where mine would go if I tried that? Maybe yours would too, I don't know, but it wouldn't be in the middle of the pan. I think of these people who knew what it was to take the wheat or the sheaves of wheat or the tops of the wheat. And in that breezy day, they would throw it in the air and it'd come right back on the screen, wouldn't it? Again, if I tried it, I'm sure I'd have to get a lot of practice to be able to not lose a lot of the wheat all over the ground. But they would toss it in the air. And as they tossed it in the air, the chaff and all the light stuff that's around the kernels of the wheat would be gently blown away. And the seeds or the kernels of wheat would be what would come back down on that screen, and they'd do it again. And they'd do it again. And they'd do it again until finally all of the wheat was dead. All of the chaff was gone. Not so, the ungodly, not so. But they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, it goes on to say, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The day is coming when God claims his own, and the ungodly will not be among them. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you accepted him as your Lord? Have you come to the point where you realize you're a sinner before him? Have you joined the congregation of the righteous and say, I've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm one of his. These are the ones he's talking about here, not the ungodly. The ungodly are not so. Not so, the ungodly, not so. But they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the Lord knoweth the way of the ungodly. Of the righteous, rather, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I trust you've received a little bit of a challenge, a blessing from this passage of Scripture. God wants us to be his children. God wants us to be his witnesses. God wants us, first of all, to be among the righteous, but more than that, he wants us to be those who know what it is to put their trust and faith in him, to learn to love him more, to love his word, not just to appreciate it, but to take it to ourselves, to appropriate it to ourselves, and then to be those who are filled with the Lord's Spirit, reaching out to others who do not know Christ as Savior. I thought I would leave you with this poem this morning. It's called the Gospel. Some of you may have heard it. It's called the Gospel According to You. There's a sweet old story translated for men, but writ in the long, long ago. The Gospel according to Mark, Luke, and John, of Christ and his mission below. You are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by deeds that you say, by deeds that you do, by words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? Men read and admire the gospel of Christ, with its love so unfailing and true. But what do they say and what do they think of the gospel according to you? 'Tis a wonderful story, that gospel of love, as it shines in the Christ life divine. And oh, that its truth might be told again in the story of your life and mine.
You are writing each day a letter to men. Take care that the writing is true. It's the only gospel that some men will read. That gospel, according to you. Let's bow in a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, indeed our lives should shine for thee. Our lives should speak forth truth, the truth of thee. Our lives should witness what a life can be when Christ has possession and control. Father, may our lives reflect thy life. And may the gospel by me in my life be true. Thank you for this time we've spent. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessing. Take this, your holy and precious word. Continue to speak to us. Continue to apply it to our lives, we pray, and challenge us anew and afresh, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.